Greetings, everybody. We're down here at Grace Chapel again and going to have a service for you. And we praise the Lord that he's faithful to us. And so far, all the people in the meeting are doing well and nobody has the coronavirus. So we're very full of praise and we all ought to just thank God for that. He's being faithful to us. Glory to God. We're believing the Lord. So we're going to bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless the meeting tonight. And we're remembering all of you in prayer. There are many requests for prayer, but all of you, I hope, are praying at home for one another. Pray for all the people, everyone you know. Pray for the Lord to help us through this situation. And I'm trusting that it's going to end and we aren't going to have it anymore. Let's bow our heads. We thank you, Father. We thank you so much for your goodness to us, Lord. Thank you that you have kept us, each of our families, you're keeping us safe from this terrible virus that we're going through right now, Lord. But we praise you for your faithfulness. And we ask you to bless us now, Lord God, as we sing and as we bring the word of God, that it will be a great blessing to each person who hears it, dear Father. We are so thankful for you. Thank you that you love us so much and that you've given us the Word of God. And we know, Father, that the Word of God has power in it to change our lives and to help us to overcome all things. And we're believing you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Jim is going to lead us in some songs.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So if you have a Grace and Glory, we're going to start, go to 130. His grace is sufficient. When powers of sin assail, the enemy prevail, and you long for peace and liberty, then look unto the Lord, 'tis written in his word, his grace is sufficient for thee. Grace, wonderful grace, great, boundless and free, how its riches through my soul and its glories o'er me roll. Oh, I'll shout from pole to pole, his grace is sufficient for thee. The valley may be deep, the mountains may be steep, of traveling you may weary be. Still trust the very one who takes you safely on. His grace is sufficient for thee. Grace, wonderful grace, great, boundless and free, how its riches thrill my soul and its glories o'er me roll. Oh, I'll shout from pole to pole, his grace is sufficient for thee. In hardships of this life, in battles and in strife, when doubt flows o'er you like the sea, just list unto his call, he'll never let you fall. His grace is sufficient for thee. Grace, wonderful grace, great, boundless and free, how its riches thrill my soul and its glories o'er me roll. Oh, I'll shout from pole to pole, His grace is sufficient for thee. When the race is well nigh run, and basking in the sun, the effulgent light of heaven to see, then Jesus you will praise through everlasting days. His grace is sufficient for thee. Grace, wonderful grace, great, boundless and free. How its riches through my soul and its glories o'er me roll. Oh, I'll shout from pole to pole, His grace is sufficient for thee.
We're so thankful for God's Word. What would we do if we didn't have the Word of God to speak to our hearts in these times of trouble and stress that we're going through? Thank you, Brother Jim. And we thank Brother Brad, too, who's up in the crow's nest up there recording all of this for us. We praise the Lord for that. Glory to God. I hope that you all that are watching on or listening on the internet have been getting it through okay, and my daughter Annette is also recording some more messages on there tonight. In fact, she's doing that, so there'll be some messages from the past on there also that you might like to listen to, that some I think in 2015, maybe 2017. Praise God. We're going to ask a blessing on the Word of God tonight again. Ask the Lord to just bless it to our hearts and help us to really grasp hold of really overcoming and letting God work in our lives. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that you've given us this privilege. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the blessing of having electronics, Lord, that we can have this message go out and that others can hear it, even though we can't meet together right now. And Father, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus Christ that you will heal us of this coronavirus, Lord, and cause us to be able to come back and meet in the meeting together, Father. We pray. And Lord, I pray for your blessing upon this word of God tonight, that each one that hears this message will be greatly blessed and strengthened by the word of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it, Lord. Amen. I think most of us are aware that when we're first born again, we are like babies in the Lord. And little babies need a lot of extra attention because they're not able to feed themselves or change their own diaper or anything like that. And so the Word of God likens us as babes in Christ when we're first born again, and we need to grow into Christ. And a work has to be done in our life for us to become what the Lord wants us to be. And so we're going to look in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians first, and the message is called The Work of God in Us. Praise the Lord. So 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, Apostle Paul speaking here, most of us know, but in verse 9 he says, "We are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building." And when he says husbandry, that means a vine field, a grapevine field. That's what they had as called their husbandry, that God would work in us just like a person would work in their own vineyard. And or we are God's building. Think of how that buildings are built. It goes into the next verse talking about the building of God. All the work that it takes to make that building really a wonderful place, a beautiful place, and very useful. Glory to God. Thank the Lord for this building that we have here at Grace Chapel that was built by the grace of God and by the mercy of God, all provided for, no indebtedness at all, and no begging for money. Praise the Lord. So in verse 10, it says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. And so, back there in that ninth verse, we find that, the Lord is doing a building. He's making a building. And it's all according to the grace of God in verse 10. And that God our Father is a wise master builder. You know, what master builder is a wonderful person to have around when you're building something, because you know it's going to come out perfect and going to come out right. And so Paul, God was a wise master builder, but also Apostle Paul was acting as God's emissary here to teach the word of God and cause the truth to go forth. So he was called a wise master builder also. Paul laid that foundation of the word of God, and he says then there's other people that build on it, but let every man take heed how he builds upon it. So God is doing a work. Praise the Lord. Paul wrote 14 books of the New Testament, and all of those are very, very important to us, that we understand what this teaching of the grace of God that was given to Paul. All right, in Philippians 2:13 is a verse that we quote quite often, and you can turn there if you want to, but this is what it says. It is God which worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. So it isn't us trying to do something. You know, some people believe that when you're saved, you're just saved as long as you keep doing the work and work and work and work and work and try to make something out of yourself. But that's not what the Word of God teaches us. The Word of God teaches us that we're totally dependent upon God to do that work in us. And so today, as we're studying these scriptures, let's remember that. We're going to go back to this verse again later in the lesson. But it's God which works in us. Everything has to be worked inside of our hearts before it comes out and is manifest in our earthly life and how we actually live and trust God. And so it says it's both to will, the will of his good pleasure, what he wills for us, and to do of his good pleasure. So he does those things for us, but then as we begin to let the Lord work in our lives, we become people who are in the will of God, and we are doing his will, and it brings him great pleasure. Praise the Lord. Note this phrase, his good pleasure. He's a master craftsman, and he has a divine blueprint, and what he is creating is a beautiful and perfect, wonderful, wonderful building. His children are all part of the building, aren't they? But our part is to let him work. And Apostle Paul is our example of God working in his life. And he went through a lot in the time before he was a Christian. He persecuted the church and was terrible, dragging off people to prison to get them even killed or held in prison because of their faith in Jesus Christ. But as God worked in him, we know that in the ninth chapter of Acts, it tells us that he was on the road to Damascus to persecute the Christians, and God knocked him off of his horse and knocked him down on the ground, and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He recognized immediately that a greater power had struck him down. And we're going to read next in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 20. It says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." So that first part of that verse, speaking about the God of peace, that's how we have peace, is by trusting in the Lord God as our Lord and coming, accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior. And then as we walk with the Lord and take in his word, we learn to rest on the Lord, and it causes a peace to come into our heart. Praise the Lord. And notice it says in verse 20 there that he is the great shepherd of the sheep. And oh, how precious that is. He's talked about in the Bible as the good shepherd and the great shepherd. And here in this place, it also says it's through the blood of the everlasting covenant. A covenant of grace has been made with us, and we are born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, by receiving that salvation which he has given to us. And notice then that it's the God of peace in verse 21 that is going to make us perfect. Now, I thought nobody was perfect. Well, in the human being, there is no one that's perfect. We all have our faults. But the Lord is working in our new nature, which is in us, to bring us to a perfection state. And that happens when we fully yield to God. Just give it up and let him take over our life, and he will do the work. He is going to make us perfect, not us. And notice that it's going to be in every good work. Also, that word perfect speaks of maturity or being grown up in the Lord. Paul talked about babes in Christ that need the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. But later he talks about those babes in Christ growing into manhood. And so that's what is important for us to think about, is that there's a work that God wants to do in our life to make us a more spiritual person by our yieldedness to God and by taking in the word of God. And it says he will make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Well, that's a big factor in letting God work in us, is to be yielded to his will. Whatever his will is for us, being willing to go that way, do that thing, whatever he asks us to do. And notice it says he's working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Sometimes we have our own idea about what we want to do or what we think God wants us to do. But it's going to be in what God thinks that we need to do. It's he that appoints us to a ministry. It is he that tells us where he wants us to go and what he wants us to say. And we need to be yielded to him, that we obey him in that. And it's well-pleasing in his sight when he works in us. And that's all through Jesus Christ, because of Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross to buy us, to give us the redemption that we have in him. And notice it says, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So Jesus gets all the glory for all the good work that happens in our life. Praise the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful thing? We are ordained. That means that God planned it. He had it all planned out, and it was ordained that these good works would take place. This is what God has called us for, to do his will. Notice that he says, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Now we're going to turn to 1 Thessalonians 2, 13. 1 Thessalonians 2, 13. This is a beautiful verse of scripture. I think we'll begin reading with verse 12. That you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. That's the thing that the Lord wants. He wants us to, we don't try to earn anything from God when he says walk worthy. It just means that we walk in the light that he has given to us and glorify. It brings glory to God. And it makes him happy with us. He's called us into this kingdom and glory, it says. For this cause, we also thank we God without ceasing. And in the original, it says with continually. We thank God continually because you received the word of God, which you heard of us. You received it. When you received it, you did not receive it. I'm going to read it again. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So you see here in how important it is for us to receive the word of God. No, it isn't good just to take someone else's view, somebody maybe doesn't even know the word well enough to be expounding it, and they would be presenting error to you by using scripture to prove their logic on it or whatever. But it's very, very important for us to learn to really study the word of God and take it in and grow in it and know exactly what the word of God says to us. So here in verse 13, look at it again. It says, without ceasing, Paul was giving thanks to God without ceasing, because when they received the word of God, they received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, not man's word, but the word of God, which effectually worketh in all in you that believe. Now, the word effectually is a word which here in the Greek is a word that means fervently or mightily. And so when he's talking about it working in us, he's talking about that it is the word fervent, you know, speaks of being very diligent. The word of God is really very diligently working in our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the might of God. That's what that's saying. And I looked up this word in the dictionary too, effectually, and it means successful in producing a desired intent or result. And so isn't that the way that the Lord works? He works his word in us in such an effectual way that it's successful in producing the desired intended result. Praise the Lord. In the Amplified Version, it says, it quotes this word right here, this verse 13, and it says, the word of God which is effectually at work in you who believe, exercising its inherent supernatural power in those of faith. So it's not up to us to try to make the word of God work in us and change us. It's our part is to yield ourselves to the working of God and study the word and read the word. And the more we read it, the more we realize our need and the more we realize what God can do for us. In 1 Thessalonians 1:5, the chapter just before, it says there that the gospel came not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. The gospel means the good news of the truth of the word of God. These people in Thessalonica really received the word of God when it came to them. According to what we can understand, Paul was only in this place 4 weeks and taught them the word of God. And yet they are some of the most outstanding Christians that we have examples in the New Testament. They were mighty in God. They had let the word of God really latch hold of them. They were looking for the coming of Jesus at any time. And he talks to them about all of those wonderful things about the coming of the Lord. What a preciousness that is. And so it did not come just to them in word only. As I'm speaking this morning to you, don't allow just the memorization of the word, but let it be. And I believe in memorizing the word, but don't let it just be that. Let it be really a part of your life, the way that you live, by laying hold of what the word says, because the word will do an important work in you, as it says here, in power and in the Holy Ghost. In Zechariah 4:6, the Old Testament book, we're not going to turn back there, but Zechariah was asking the Lord to show him what was meant by the message he received. And it says, he answered and spoke unto me. When God answered him and spoke to him, he said this, this is the word of the Lord, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And so that's how it is that God works in us. It is not by our own physical might. It isn't by our own intelligence. It isn't on how great we are in the English language or the Greek language or whatever. and how much we can understand. We know that there are ministers that way that are totally schooled in all of the foreign languages of the Bible, and they bring it forth very cold and dry. The message is cold and dry, but it means that God's power and God's might will deliver us and show us that understanding. It's not by our own might nor by our own power, but by the Spirit of the Lord that he's going to teach us. So I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 4. Matthew 4. Okay. This is at the temptation of Christ when Jesus was led, it says in verse 1, by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The word is the only true authority, yours and mine. It means nothing if we are not absolutely in tune with God's word. And that word of God will change our life. It will cause us to mature in Christ and become adult sons of God, which he desires. He wants each of us to grow up from babyhood and become sound and become established people that stand in the storms of life and stand in all the persecution and everything. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. So this word of God, when Jesus used it, he was showing that the word of God is the only true authority, yours and mine. Yours and mine mean nothing if not absolutely in tune with God's word. If we proclaim error, we will be judged for that. But when we know the word of God, we preach the truth. And the only way to learn the word of God is by studying it. And I hope and pray each of you take time to read the word of God and study the word of God on your own. And then come to the meetings or listen to the CDs or listen to this online that we have going on right now. And receive the truth that is preached to you. But remember that he wants you as an individual to study the word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of God, as we believe it, works in our life and changes us. Oh, it's so precious to know that. I love this scripture as one of our favorite scriptures in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. And we said the word of God works in our lives. But another thing that works in our lives are the trials of life. The trials of life, they can either drive us away from God or they can make us ever closer to God. And as we yield our lives to Christ, we accept what happens in our lives because we know our Heavenly Father is in control and he is working everything together for our good. Praise the Lord. As it says here, all things work together for good to those that love the Lord and to those that are called according to his purpose. Praise the Lord. So trials work. They change us from who we were. I'd like for us to turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians 4. We're going to be reading with verse 16. For this cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now this is the trials of life. Sometimes our outward man feels like it's perishing, but praise the Lord, we have a new life that is in the inward man, Christ in us. And that spirit of Christ in us is renewed day by day. Isn't that beautiful? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. This is some of my favorite scriptures, and you probably know that because I think I read these probably more than I read a lot of the other scriptures when I'm ministering. But I tell you what, if we can come to the place of Apostle Paul, where he's saying that what he went through is just a light affliction, that is amazing. You can read in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and you'll see the troubles and the trials he had. He didn't have, in the natural, what we would call light afflictions. He had very, very hard things. He was beaten 3 different times with rods. And he was thrown into prisons, and he was shipwrecked and in floating around in the water several different times. All of the trials he went through, and yet he could say, this light affliction? I wonder if any of us can say that. Can we say that, that what I've gone through in my lifetime, that God was doing a work in my life, can I really say that I don't resent that, that I had to go through that, that I'm overcoming in that, and I know that God had a purpose and he is working in my life? I hope we can say that, because God allows everything to take place in our life, and it will all work together for our good, we read. All works together for our good. He says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You know that those who fully overcome are going to wear crowns with the Lord and going to be reigning on thrones around about the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. That isn't why we yield our lives to the Lord, though. If we really, truly yield to God, we're doing it because we love him. Because he wants us to be overcomers. He wants us to go on with him and to greater things than just what we know right now. And that's what the work that he's doing in our lives every single day of our life. He is perfecting our faith. Praise the Lord. And so let's read on in verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Now, we're going to stop there a minute because we kind of broke those verses up. But it says that he worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. There is such a thing as going through trials and tests and terrible weighty things that bear us down and not having the right attitude. And if we don't get that right attitude that God knows what he's doing and he's going to help me to get through this trial and I will be an overcomer through Christ who strengthens me, as Apostle Paul learned, then it's not going to really work in us what the Lord wants. It isn't going to be an eternal weight of glory. But if we in victory look at these things, the things which are not seen, what is God working in us? Is he working, one place it says, an eternal weight of glory? Is he working an eternal weight of glory in our life? That's in that verse 17. But it's while we look not at the things which are seen. Don't get your eyes on the trial. Think of the victory you're going to have by overcoming the trial. Think of the victory of Christ, that he's given to us all power. We have the power of the Holy Spirit in us. We have that victory in Christ. And so, don't look at the things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. See, that's faith. Faith is looking at things not seen, the scripture says. So, we look at our lives and our trials as things not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. That means just for the present time. We might see a lot of wonderful things that we think we want, you know, outward things, houses, possessions of different kinds, and we might think, oh, that's what I want, that's what I want. But these are not things, these are just the things that are seen, and they're not eternal. They are very temporal. When we leave this life, we don't take any money with us, we don't take any treasures with us that we might have. And so Paul goes ahead to say, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Praise the Lord. Oh, I love that. Oh, glory to God. We must let him do his work in us. I always marvel at Paul's calling his trials and tribulations a light affliction. If we could put it on a balancing scale, there would be no comparison. I love that, though, that in God's sight, the blessing of the victory in that trial is much greater and much heavier than the terrible trial that we maybe have to go through. Romans 8:18 says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Verse 18 is the secret that we don't look at these trials and tests and this coronavirus. The things that are seen are just temporal. That means they are brief. They are fleeting. They're going to go away. But the things which are not seen are eternal. That means forever. Now remember in the book of Luke chapter 10 verse 47, there were two women. One's name was Mary and her sister was Martha. And Mary, we know her as Mary of Bethany. And Jesus came there to visit them. And Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And she was so enthralled with Jesus to hear what he had to say. But her sister Martha was busy doing housework and preparing meals. And she began to complain about Mary. And she said, Mary is not helping me. Make her, Jesus, make her get up and come on and help me. And she asked Jesus to do that. She says, please, Lord, cause her to help me. And Jesus turned to her and he said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful about many things, but one thing is needful. And in the original Greek, it says it's necessary. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So we want to be like Mary and sit at Jesus' feet. That means take time to really hear what God has to say for us. I hope each one of you are reading the Word of God at home every day. Read the Word of God and pray to the Lord for his will for your life and helping you. Believe the Lord when you pray. And when the trials come and the tests come, which you're going to have, everybody in life, the sinner out there goes through just terrible situations. And they don't have the Lord to help them. But we as Christians have the Lord. And he is our strength. And he will help us get through these trials. Just trust in the Lord and realize what God is doing. He is doing a magnificent work in your life right now. Through the cares and the trials, even through our being not able to be here in the meeting place. It's hard. I don't like it. I know you don't like it. But the Lord is going to deliver us. Praise the Lord. And, O saints of God, I believe that Jesus Christ is coming soon. I talked to a dear sister today on the telephone. She lives away off from here. But we were discussing the fact that we didn't expect to see a plague like this come upon the world before the Lord Jesus Christ came. We thought this terrible plague and virus would be something only in the tribulation. But it's happened before, way back in the early days, but not in a long, long time. But I believe that the Lord is warning the earth. There have been more earthquakes. There have been more terrible volcanic eruptions. There are two massive fires that happened, one in Australia and one in the Amazon jungle. All the different things that have happened in this world that God seems to be warning us. They're unusual things that are happening. And so let us believe and let us cry out to the Lord to work in our lives. Just say, Lord, work in me. Make me what you want me to be, Father. Just help me to be who you want me to be in you. Help me to do the will of God in my life and be obedient to you. Just seek the Lord like that. And trials will come because trials build our faith. Trials work in us things that nothing else can happen, that nothing else can do. Praise the Lord. That's all I have to say tonight, and I'm going to have prayer again, and I want you to know that I'm praying for you, and I hope that you are praying for each one of the people of God that you know. Pray for them daily. There are many, many needs that we all need to be remembering to the Lord. Glory to God. Let us bow our heads, and we will pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. It's so precious to us, Lord. It is so meaningful for our lives. I don't know how we could live without the word of God to encourage us and to teach us, Lord. We want to be taught. We want to understand more and more and more. And I pray, Lord, that this will take place in the lives of each one of the persons that listen to this message. Father, that each one will seek after you with all their heart and will desire to know you in a greater way than they do now. Now I pray, Father, that your work will go on in the hearts of the believers and that they will become strong in you, Lord, and full grown and steadfast. Lord, I believe you to do it. And I ask you, Father, to make it possible that we can come and meet again in this place, Father. Oh, Lord, we stand for you. We stand for your word. We will not be denied of the truth of the word of God. Oh, Father, make us ready. Lord, help us to realize the nearness of your coming. Make us ready for your soon appearing, we pray, Lord. I'm asking this, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the beloved Son of God. And I believe that my prayer is answered. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.